Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, are you consistently dating the wrong people? Well, we're going to talk about what to do if your picker is broken. How do you make things right after your partner cheats? And how do you really make masturbation better? Plus, the right kind of lube for you. Thanks for listening. Listeners and friends, they're always asking me how to spice up their relationships. They all want to know how to bring the spark back. One great way is to add in some variety. Well, our good friends at AdamandEve.com know all about that. AdamandEve.com is where you'll find all my favorite high-end toys, like the Magic Wand and the WeVibe Tango, as well as every formula of quality lube you can think of. You should all be using lube, by the way, if I haven't made that clear. Try out Pure or Sliquid. Adam and Eve sells those as well. The folks at AdamandEve.com are pleasers, so they put together a special deal for Sex with Emily listeners. If you order today and use code EMILY, they'll cut the price of almost any single item in half. Not enough for you? They'll also toss in 3 free DVDs and ship it all to you for free. And for a limited time, they will include a free gift. It's a sexy premium silicone pleasure ring. Rings are a great way to enhance intercourse, and if you haven't tried one before, this is the time. It can help guys stay harder longer while providing that crucial clitoral stimulation that most women need to orgasm during intercourse. Get your free ring, free shipping, free DVDs, and 50% off any item. Go to AdamandEve.com and use code EMILY at checkout.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com because there, oh my God, there's a plethora of things. We now have our Shop with Emily site. You can just go shopping right on my website. Menace, how fun is that? Shopping.
I love it.
And you can subscribe.
Right now.
It means a lot when you subscribe to the podcast because not only when you subscribe to a podcast, if you're listening and you stop and do something else, you come back to it. When you subscribe, it allows you to keep your place in line with the podcast that you were listening to. Plus, it just helps us with the show, and also we love when you review it. And now you can also get it on Google Play, SoundCloud, and Spotify. Plus, please sign up for our newsletter. I'm telling you, it's so funny, our newsletter. We send it out once a week, and everyone's always like, I got your newsletter. It's so fun. I think I learned something. Like, it's not one of those annoying ones, and it'll take you a second to read, and it'll help you. And then Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook at Sex with Emily. And big milestone, Menace.
What?
We hit 1 million followers on Facebook.
Ooh, you've been trying to do that for a minute now.
I know,
that's
right?
That's great.
I know. It's very exciting.
Cool.
So thank you, everybody, for our Facebook followers that millions of milestone.
That's huge.
It's a lot of peeps. So I just love you all. And I'm going to thank the listeners. And so I was like, I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank you all because you just make this all possible. And by supporting the show, you're also supporting everybody else because, you know, millions of people listen to the show and they're having better sex and relationships as well. So
this is crazy. So I'm on sexwithemily.com.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up, you know, shop Emily. And so I just found this thing called the Hello Touch silicone wearable finger vibes
by Jimmy Jane. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Oh God, that I love the Hello Touch. Your fingers become vibrators, and it also is electrostimulation.
It's crazy.
So it looks there's like, two little pads.
Yeah,
it's, I love it. And you can like touch your partner, so you can like use it, and like you could use her like go over her nipples and like vibrates on her nipples. You can like finger her with it. You can I know, dude. Do you want one?
It's crazy.
I've never seen you so excited.
It looks like, okay, for the older crowd that know about, it looks like it could be a Nintendo Power Glove.
Really?
What it could be.
It could be, but it's a vibrator. So you put one on your finger and your first finger and your second finger, I think, or your third, whatever finger you want, really. And then like you, literally your hand turns into a human vibrator and you can precisely touch your partner, or you can use it for yourself. And then they also have one with electrostimulation. So you can either vibe or electrostimulate if you're into that kind of thing.
I think I'm a finger master, and I think it would just take it to the next level.
Okay, dude. Yeah. I got one for you. No problem.
What do you think of a guy's finger skills? Do you judge a guy's finger skills?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I judge and then I help. No, I don't judge, but I think a lot of guys just go, they stick it right in and they start pounding and pounding with their finger. And it's like, dude, that is so doesn't feel good. Yeah. That's so you're going, where are you going with that thing? Like you need a map. And like I always say, don't go right. Because the worst thing is when they're just like, they get in your pants and they just start fingering. You're like, hello, hello. No, I'm sorry. You need to stop first and you need to pray to the clitoris god first. You need to massage around the clitoris. You need to say knock, knock, knock at the door. And then maybe you can slowly stick your fingers inside only after you've washed your hands, trimmed your nails, and maybe added some lube. That's how I feel about finger skills. And then I can guide you from there. But just know that going slower is better at first always. And, slower and not, you know, not as fast and not as hard. People softer and slower. Please.
Depending
please.
If they want it hard though.
That's what I think about guys' finger skills. But here's
they'll
the thing.
Harder.
Here's the thing. You can learn. And every woman's different. So some women might want to be pounded with your nubby finger, but she might not. So every woman's different. Every time you have a new opportunity to learn. That's
tell
what's
me
so about
your
about
first finger experience.
It's a great question. Okay, I remember. It was hot. I was on a cruise ship with my dad.
Floozy.
I was a floozy. No, my dad, you know, my parents are divorced, and my dad, one spring break, took my brother and I on a cruise to the Bahamas.
Does your brother know about this, by the way?
No.
Oh.
Thank God he doesn't listen to the show. And I was wearing a white bikini, and I was 14.
Yeah.
And I remember it was really hot, actually. This really cute guy from the South. He lived in the South, and we went back to my tiny little, like, cruise ship room that's like, you know, like 2x4. Like,
wait, did you have your own?
Well, no, I shared with my brother, but he was like probably fingering some girl in the other room, knowing my brother. So he's like that. And I don't remember him really, like, I remember that it was really hot, literally and figuratively, but because we were on a cruise ship and we were in the room and he started like just touching me with his fingers and over, like, he went, I don't know how he knew. He must have been like 16 and he went over my white bikini, and I still remember his like fingers like touching it, and I was getting so aroused and so turned on.
Loved
and then
it.
He like put his finger, oh, this is still so hot. And then he like put his fingers inside and then he like lightly fingered me, like not too hard, and it felt
where is that
amazing.
Guy? Let's
dude,
call him.
I don't know. I was obsessed with him. You know, when you're a kid, you're like, that
do you know
young,
what cruise line? Maybe we can go back in the records.
It
and
was
find
Princess
him.
Cruises, right? No, I don't remember, but I remember like when you're young like that and you have your first sexual, like, I remember being like, I love this guy. So, oh my God, like, we're going to end up together. Like, never talk
what
to him again.
What about this guy's listening to the podcast? Email
me. Do you think that he's my long-lost love?
Yeah, or if you... Maybe this guy shared a story about fingering a girl in a white bikini on a cruise ship.
Because he wouldn't know my name, maybe, because I don't know his name. He was cute, a little Southern accent. We like, we're on the cruise ship. Like,
that's the mission. We got to put it out there.
I know. He's my guy. Maybe I was 15. I must have been 15 because I was, like, junior, sophomore. Yeah, I was 15. So my first fingering.
Amazing.
I was kind of prude. I know.
How
that's
many times
story.
Did it happen? Just that once?
Just that once.
Oh,
that one
damn.
Magical moment. I know. It was
a fun
cruise.
I thought you would just go like hammer for
the
rest of the cruise.
I have to tell you, I was very like conservative sexually. I was very careful about like, but that was like my first. I'm like, you're on a ship and no one knows. And I'm like, I can fool around with this guy. I don't think a guy had ever even touched my vagina, my vajayjay. I did not mean to say vajayjay because I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate vagina too.
Thanks for sharing.
I hate the word. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I don't, that's a first. That's a sex with me first. It's a good question, Menace.
Thank you.
Now
that's
we all
why
know.
I'm here.
We've been having some great shows lately, if I do say so myself. We did pubic hair, porn habits, and relationship past. We talked about do's and don'ts for your online profile and what men and women really want to know about you. And how to make, you know, what to do with your partner's porn habits. It was a good show. Uh-huh. So check that out. And
you just got some mascara on your cheek, by the way.
I do?
Yeah, you just put it right here. There you go.
Because I was getting so turned on that I was like, dripping sweat.
Just dripping.
Is it gone? Now you're making me... Who cares? It's just us and Madison. Madison doesn't care. Jesus, now you're making me look. I got mascara.
It's fine.
Oh, I look scary.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just got back from San Francisco, which has changed so much.
It has. I was there a couple of weeks ago.
I was in the Mission. I was like, where are the hipsters? Where are the hipsters? There's not even hipsters anymore.
They're gone.
I don't know. It's so
all
built
the tech
up.
People.
It's crazy. All tech people. But yeah. I went for, you know how I'm doing my Somatica training?
Yes.
Do you remember when Celeste, my teacher, called in a few weeks ago?
Yes.
So I'm doing this 8-month training. Mm-hmm. And it's called Somatica. And it's really hard. You know, I can't just explain it in a nutshell. And it was a very, I've been kind of like building up because I go every other weekend, every other month to San Francisco for 5 days. And it's one of these like 12-hour days. It's really intense. You're learning a lot. And the reason why I'm taking this course is because, first of all, I have my doctorate. I've learned a lot about sex, but I feel like I always say to you guys, I want to constantly be growing and learning and changing and you know, improving my relationships. And then the more I learn, the more I can help you. And so I'll be sharing stuff, little tidbits and wisdom over the next, you know, few months. But what I want to talk about today is one thing that really hit me about this training, which it's really about, and it's hands-on. I mean, it's clothes-on. It's not naked. But it is about helping couples communicate around sex and around, like I'm always saying, communication is lubrication, you know? I'm making fun of myself. But the truth is, that's important. Yes, you have to talk about it. But there's so many blocks that people have. They don't quite know how. They're like, yeah, Emily, I want to talk about it, but how? And like, once we talk about it, I don't really know how to even explain what I want. And so really what we talked about this week, there's a lot of things, but how do you know what you really, really, really like in bed? Like what is your fantasy? Now, for guys, some men, it might be easier. But for a lot of women and men, they're like, I couldn't really explain it to you. Like, I don't know what my fantasy is. So most of us have like a core erotic theme. Mm-hmm. We have something that is our go-to, right? Like it might be for you, men, is, I don't know, something in your spank bank from something. Or, you know, for me, it could be like this guy on the cruise ship from now on. That would be mine. So it could be, you know, or people have like elaborate fantasies where they're, you know, having an orgy and there's one guy in a belt and then he comes up and he ties his belt around your neck. A lot of women have domination, you know, fantasies. So it's just really interesting that we all had to go around and like talk about what our like erotic themes are and what we fantasize about. Because once you know that, and I wanted to skink, you can share this to your partner. You can share this with your partner. Now, let me separate this. Fantasies, of course, there's going to be some fantasies that you're like, I do not want this to happen in real life. Like, I do not want to be in a gangbang, but I think it's hot. And that's okay too. That can be part of your fantasy, but there might be some, like, if you think about all the things you fantasize about, there might be some themes that emerge. For example, when we went around the room, I realized that men's common themes in their fantasies are they want to be adored. They want to be appreciated. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to do everything right. They want their partner to have 60 orgasms. They, you know, want them to be appreciating their penises. And like overall, they have like this great sexual prowess. And for women, I noticed the themes seem to be that they want to be taken care of and worshipped. And they want their partners to know what they want without having to tell them, which we know is really hard because men are not mind readers. Women are not mind readers. So, you know, women have a lot of fantasies about domination and, you know, the buildup and the anticipation and the romance. And the one common theme was that we just all want to feel special. We really do. We want to feel like we are, you know, the best lover and that we really stand out to our partners. But the problem is we don't really know how to communicate this to our partner. And so, you know, part of the course is like figuring out what is your core erotic theme, figuring out what really turns you on. And for I'd say like if you don't know, spend time like watching porn, reading erotica, or just thinking back like what was the hottest moment sexually you've ever had? Like, think of one time you had sex where that it was hot. You're like, why? And then think about that. And like, maybe it was you were outdoors. Maybe it was like on a trip on vacation in the Bahamas and no one could see you. I'm not even on a cruise ship and you could hear the wind whipping in your hair. Like, I don't know what it was for you, but there's certain things like that, that themes, like maybe, and then if you start thinking about it, you're, wow, all my themes were when I was on vacation. Or, and then once you figure that out, you can easily tell your partner, you know, let's say you're sex life, you just want to spice it up, or maybe you're not having sex anymore. You can remember, this is kind of what my core is, and then share that with your partner. And so it's really important for couples to get granular with this stuff so you can learn to turn each other on.
Yeah, it's always been our number one thing, just communication.
Right. This is another tool. And I'll be getting more into it because I really feel like I learned a lot. Transforming.
No, you are learning a lot. Last time we talked about it, you got all emotional.
I cried.
Sure,
inner
things.
Child work, because it's just, you know what it is, we all that there's so much sexual, we bring sex on the one hand should be so easy and fun and natural and it's all about pleasure, but yet we make it so difficult, and a lot of it comes from our minds, our own anxieties about fear and about failure and failing our partners and being rejected. And so if we could just get out of our heads and figure out what is really going on, release all that stuff and focus on our erotic energy, our sex will be better. And this is stuff, again, I know I've talked about this in different ways, but I just would like to share this with you and more to come.
Good.
Okay. So we've got some sex in the news.
What's going on with sex in the news?
Bragging is a turnoff in online dating.
What?
You can't brag. You can't brag. But it's so, this is so particular here. Yeah. No one wants to be like, I'm the president, CEO, and check out my Lamborghini. Like, that's not going to turn people on.
Yeah, definitely. It's so hard, though, like, to
walk
have
the line.
Yeah, to have a conversation online with, I mean, you can ask a lot of questions, but also you kind of have to say I a lot. You know, I this, I
what
that.
What do you mean? Like when you're messaging?
When you're messaging. Yeah. It's like, oh, I am into this. I am into that. And then it kind of comes off as...
You're bragging?
You're bragging.
Well, let me break down this study for you, because I thought it was really, really interesting. So we know that you're all dating online. A lot of people are, to find their prospective mates. But so therefore, there's been so many studies lately. Like, what makes a successful dating profile? You know, what makes one someone really attractive or unattractive? So there's researchers at the University of Iowa, and they asked online daters what they thought of these particular profiles. And they looked at two concepts, okay? People, you're going to have to follow me in this one. Two concepts. Number one, they looked at selective self-presentation. What's that? That's when people highlight their most flattering qualities. So in the context of online dating, you know, when the goal is to attract a partner, people are motivated. They want to bring a lot of positive information. So they brag a little, okay? They look at their bragging. How much do they brag? And number two, it's called warranting, okay? Warranting is when they link their online profile to a corresponding site to kind of validate them and say, look at my LinkedIn, my Instagram, look at my Snapchat. And so this way, they kind of are backing up their, they're kind of authenticating their self, but they don't have to brag in their profile, but they can say, you want to know more about me? Look at my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I've done. This is why I'm rather than me telling you.
Yeah.
So the findings showed that online daters were judging people if they bragged excessively about themselves, like they had self-presentation that was just like, oh, I'm great, I did this, and here's my fancy car, and here's all these women, and I like have all this money, that looked much less trustworthy. People were like, I don't like this guy or woman, she's a douchebag, or she's really full of herself. But if they had more warranting and they linked their account to like an Instagram or a link or whatever, people thought that that was more attractive. So they had less bragging. They talked about maybe things that were more authentic. So here is the ideal profile, right? So if a man's Tinder bio says like, I like hiking, long bike rides and doing the Times crossword puzzle. But like, let's say he also includes a profile to his LinkedIn account and it said he has a successful, respectable career, then this would be a more likable like profile. But he was like, yo, you know, I'm the boss of everything. And like, I, you know, all these people work for me and I've had a lot of successes and this is what I do. And there were no links to anything else. Women would think, oh, this guy just brags too much.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. So the key is to make yourself, you know, to make your date comfortable and to make it so you got to kind of balance this. So maybe, it's best in your messages and in your profile to say, like, talk about what's really genuine about what you like and who you are. And I know that things can sound kind of cheesy, but instead of saying like, I love to travel, you can say, you know, my best day ever was spent river rafting in Colorado. And like, you want to be more specific in your content. But again, talk about something that you like or something that's close to you, but not necessarily your achievements. If you want to include that, link your profiles. So that's what we got. How about that, Menace?
I love it.
So speaking of linking profiles, which I don't do, but now I'm realizing as I shared on a recent show that I can't get away from it because people Google me, and I probably should start linking my Instagram account to my dating profiles. But if you would like to check out my profiles, not my dating ones, but you can do that too, go to Snapchat, Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook,
You've been Twitter. Snapchatting. I mean, we Snapchatted while we're here.
Right.
How's that going?
It's good. I've been doing it not every
Snapchat
day.
Snapchat has done all these upgrades too, where you can save stuff and you can re-Snapchat it later too, which has been amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
You could save Snapchat now and then upload it.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
A couple weeks ago.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
I could just snap, 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 save, snap, upload?
Yeah.
Didn't tell me that.
Crazy.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. So yeah, follow me in all the places.
Yeah, because I was just down at, because you know, Snapchat, the videos only last 24 hours, right? So I went down to Comic-Con in San Diego, did this whole Snapchat story, and I ended up saving it because I went it's on a much. Saturday,
right?
And then I went back on the radio with the Woody Show on Monday and talking about it. And then so people didn't get the, some people missed it. So then I got to reshare that Snapchat story on Snapchat so people got to watch it.
Oh,
again
so
that
we
day.
Could snap right now and then upload it when the show comes out.
Yes, you can do that. See, the mind's blown.
Should we do that right now? No, I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. But that's a good one. That's good to know. We've been snapping. We have been snapping during the shows.
That's great. Yes. Follow
and in life,
Sex Emily.
Follow Sex Emily on Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram. And our Instagram's been killing it because, I don't know, we got fun photos on there. And we got good content.
A lot of good fun. Let's see. Let me see what we should highlight on this episode.
On this episode of Sex Emily, Emily's Instagram.
Oh,
looks
wait.
Like
here's you. When is this? Is this all, oh, seven today. Hours ago. Look at you in some yoga.
Yeah.
You got some boob action going on
I got
here.
Some big boobs in there, yeah?
Yeah. Is this when you're on...
I wasn't... No, that's recent.
On the pill?
No.
You
just
promised to show the boob pics
Here's
when you're
problem.
On
People have been
pill.
Emailing me about the boob picture. I went on birth control pill and my boobs grew so much. I look like a porn star. However, the only photo I have is of just my boobs. Like close up of my boobs because... A guy I was dating was like, send me your boobs. And just but it's not even naked boobs. It's with a t-shirt on. But I'm sure I could find some from that era.
Okay, I'll do it. Just a boob picture.
No, but people, but not everyone on Instagram listens to the show and they'll be like, why is she posting a picture of a tank top of her, just her breasts?
Okay, what?
Okay, I'll find more from that era.
Explain it in the comments for people. Say, hey, if you miss it, we're talking about how my boobs fluctuated when I was on the pill versus now. So people wanted to see it. Just explain.
My boobs are falling out right now. I just noticed. You didn't. My nipple was literally just out of my shirt.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at your Instagram.
And you liked it, my yoga thing. And Beyond Yoga sent me some clothes, so I was showing off my yoga clothes.
Cool.
And then the picture next is me and you.
Oh, nice.
We're so cute. Okay.
So much content.
So is there anything else that you need to share? Okay. So we're going to give a little shout out to our sponsors.
All right.
Thank you for supporting them. And then we'll come back. Lube. You know, I never stop talking about it. And for good reason. For 10 years, I've been on a mission to get lube on every nightstand in the world. Well, I'm so happy to announce that I have a new partner in my quest, Joe. As a company, Joe is committed to making my mission come true. Joe manufactures a wide assortment of amazing lubes and personal care products. But for now, let me share one of my favorites, the Joe Natural Love Collection. It's 100% USDA certified organic, specially formulated with pure natural ingredients like chamomile, agave leaf extract, and carrageenan. It provides a smooth, long-lasting glide and is easy to clean. Plus, these lubes are toy safe and compatible with most materials. The Natural Love Collection includes flavored and unflavored formulas, as well as an organic toy cleaner. The Certified Organic Natural Love line, along with all the Joe personal care products, is now available on my store. Just go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Shop with Emily or the Joe banner. Trust me, this lube is going to change your sex life. Hey everyone, we are back and we're ready for your emails. But first, I want you to know that we are on SoundCloud, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, we're on all these places.
Yeah.
So however you listen, however you digest it, do that. It's easier now. And review us.
Just search Sex with Emily.
Just search Sex with Emily. Do you know that if you go to iTunes podcast and you search sex, it's the first one that comes up?
That's awesome.
I know. It feels really good.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when iTunes was first launching and then it would highlight all the podcasts. I would see you right there.
Yeah.
Featured.
Because we were new.
You're a pioneer.
I was the first year of podcasting. It was the first 2 months after podcasting launched.
And no one gives you no credit.
They don't.
They don't give you any credit.
Which I get.
You're a pioneer in podcasting. People should recognize that.
Oh, menace.
I'm just saying.
You're right. It was before you did podcast. I met you after.
Yeah.
You didn't even know what it was.
Well, I knew what podcasting was because I'm always up on tech stuff, but I wasn't involved with podcasting.
Right. I don't even know. Remember Elizabeth Morris who worked for me?
Yeah.
Same last name, not related. She was my intern. She was an engineer and she's like, there's this thing called podcasting. And I was like, okay. And I was like, we'll do it.
Yeah,
dude,
it's
I am
great.
Pioneer. It was the first year.
Pioneer. Never get no love.
I don't get any love, but that's
now
okay.
Everyone's all about podcasting.
Oh, I was dude, actually reading, everyone's all about podcasting.
I know. I was reading
like, hello, welcome to the party.
Some charts today about, I was in a meeting and then it says that podcasting in the United States is up 33%.
This year?
This year, yeah.
That's amazing.
Which is great for you.
It's great for me.
Sucks because like now all these people think they're like podcasting experts. And those people need to recognize the Sex with Emily show because you've been there since the beginning.
True.
That's all I'm saying.
2005, man. I went to the first podcast. Thank you.
You listeners better tweet somebody. Let them know.
Tweet that shit. Sex with Emily. Yeah. No, I didn't know what the hell. Yeah. And it was not even until last year. People still don't know. But yeah. My mom was like, what are you doing? You should go work at Starbucks because they have a good health plan. Good luck with that venture. Okay. So thank you for emailing me. A lot of you email me feedback at sexwithemily.com. But guess what? You can now do it right from our website, which makes it really easy. We've got an Ask Emily form and you just fill it out and send to us. There you go. Comes right to our inbox. Also, new option.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us a voicemail message because we're going to start doing shows where we have your voicemails and we can answer your questions there. And the number, leave a message, 818-275-7931 or 818-ASK-SWE1. That's Sex with Emily 1. I got my own personalized number, yo.
So this is on...
It's on the website.
It's on the website, Ask Emily.
Yeah, it's 818-ASK-SWE1. And like, cool. Here's the ground rules.
Just in case somebody's driving, they can't write it down.
Oh.
They can go, see?
Manus, you're so smart.
I know. Try to simplify all the time. Sexwithemily.com. You just go to Ask with Emily. At the bottom, it says leave a voicemail. And you click on that right there. And boom, it gives you the information that you need.
Aw.
Great.
Okay, that is really good. And so also just keep your message, you know, a little short. And don't include your last name or the names of anyone you're talking about. But do, as always, in your emails and your messages, tell us your age, where you're calling from, and how you listen. Where you live.
I'm going to be calling you with a...
Heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing in a disguised voice.
You should do that. And what if you leave me a really good message and I don't know what to do and then I play it? Wow.
Hi, Emily.
What would you ask me?
I have a problem with the ejaculation. I wouldn't be able to keep a straight face.
I know. And I would know all your voices. Okay. Right. So let's go to the emails.
All right.
Emily, my name is Amanda. I'm 20 years old from Boston area and I listen to the podcast app. I've heard you on Anderson talk about people having a broken picker on plenty of your shows, and I fit right into that category. I've never been in a serious relationship, but I've casually dated people here and there. Recently, I was casually dating / hooking up with this Irish guy, and I thought it was sort of cute summer fling. Obviously, I knew it couldn't be anything serious since he was only staying in America for a few months. One night, I had him over my apartment to meet some of my friends and show him how Americans have a good time. A few days later, he told me he basically would prefer hooking up with my best friend rather than me. Ouch.
Oh, no.
Honestly, F that kid. He doesn't matter at all. But I can't help but take that personally. It's true, she's a lot hotter and thinner than me, and I'm a fun-loving, motivated, artsy chick. I got a lot to offer, but I'm never ever going to be the smoke show of the room. Clearly, I'm picking the wrong guys, and I would love some advice on how to fix my broken picker. Best, Amanda. So, do you know about the broken picker? Do you know what that means? Your picker?
Yeah, I believe you have a broken one. It's broken majorly.
It's not broken. It's just not always being redirected. Yeah, maybe. I've never really. It was. You know what it was?
There's no batteries in your picker.
It's rechargeable and waterproof.
Yeah.
My picker was is sort of a free love and spirit. And my picker wasn't ready to be specifically directed towards anything. I wanted to experience a lot of. I wanted to pick a lot of different fruits.
Yeah.
And that's it with my picker. You could call it broken.
Yeah.
You could just say that but no.
Maybe
here's
the compass
thing,
is broken on your picker.
My compass, for sure. Yeah. I get lost every day. But a picker, my picker, to be honest, is not broken, because let me tell you what a picker is.
All right.
What she's saying is, in this sense, yes, I haven't picked. No, I have no regrets, and I've always been about trying to figure out, like, dating and having a good time, and now I'm in a different place in my life.
But why
why am I dating?
Why in like 3 seconds I can see that somebody that you're hanging around is a douchebag, and then I go, that guy is a douchebag, and then 5 months later you're like, Menace, that guy was a douchebag.
That hasn't happened in a long time.
My picker ain't broken.
Dude, I don't know where your picker digger is. Like, I don't know. I don't get to meet the people that you date. I don't even know if they're real.
You meet them all the time.
But dude, not true.
Face to face.
But here's what Amanda's asking. Amanda, listen. The first thing I noticed is that you specifically chose a guy that is not going to be around. Unavailable. Yeah. You're choosing unavailable men, which means that you probably have some challenges with intimacy, as a lot of us do. So the most important thing is to figure out what you really want. You're casually dating, which I get is fun, and that's sort of the trend now. Everyone's casually dating, hooking up. They want to be open relationships. But if you really want to be in a relationship, it seems like, you know, that you would have to come a little bit closer to figuring out what it is that you want. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here, but I'm going to assume that this Irish guy is not the first to leave you feeling, you know, less than or taken advantage of. So what it means by the picker is that you're constantly dating the same type of men over and over again, like the woman who dates the bad boy, Menace. And I don't, I think I've actually dated, I'm not going to argue that things are not broken that in me. I'm not saying I'm perfect and I have it all figured out. But what I'm saying is it's not the same type of things over and over again. And I think what she's saying is she's just dating guys that are not available, emotionally not there. And so I think it's time to start, as always, for everyone, your own self-esteem. Now, you sound very confident to me. You know, you're artsy, you're cool, but you're also putting yourself down. You're saying, like, I'm cool, but I'm no smoke show. I'm artsy, but I'll never be the hottest girl in the room. So in a way, you have this you've compartmentalized your confidence. So you're secure in some areas, but not all of them. So I think you got to work on, like, your whole body, like from your toes to the very top of your head. Like, how do you love all of that? And when you know that you have so much to offer and you realize that all the things you have to offer, people will take notice. So work on that first. And to me, for everybody, for myself, for Menace, for Madison, for our intern Maurice, this flaccid penis here, everybody's got to work on their confidence, okay? So when it comes to guys, Amanda, here's a trick. You got to look for guys who are into you and who see you for who you are, and they appreciate all the things you are, and they treat you well, and they make you feel special and important. Now, here's a trick. This is not going to feel comfortable to you at first, because I'm assuming you haven't had that a lot. Yes, you have to give the time of day to the guy who seems like he wants you. So that's where the broken picker comes into play, because you don't realize this is what you should be looking for. You're looking for maybe unavailable, long distance, you know, a bad boy, whatever it is. So now when you see this guy, you're like, something's really attractive and familiar about him. You go, oh yeah, he's kind of a douchebag. That could be the guy. You know, you start looking at these things. And so things I recommend for this, like the guy that you like lock eyes with across the room and you're like, he's the one, that's when you walk away. Okay. That's when you like go in the other direction. And, you know, I've talked about duty dating on the show. And this is like just saying yes to people that you wouldn't normally be attracted to. You know, maybe it's a nice guy who's got a good job and he really seems into you, and you're like, oh God, that's not attractive. But what you do a duty date and you go out with him. And you see, you know what? I might like this guy. You never know, because we put up so many walls and we write so many people off. Oh, he's got it. You know, he was too into me, or he was too nice, or I don't like his car, whatever it is. All these silly things. But give this guy a chance. Give the next guy a chance that you might not be so into, and see if you could kind of change your picker and fix that picker. Fix that broken picker. Picker dicker. I want to picker snicker.
Emily's always working on her picker.
I am. I'm always working on it. Right now, I'm not picking. Right now, I'm picking nobody, which is a choice to not pick. So my picker is on vacation.
Your picker's on vacation. Where? Will you be able to find it? The Bahamas. Ooh, that's a nice place for your picker.
I don't know. Okay, dear Emily.
Have you ever been picked in the Bahamas?
Yes, I told you. Was I just talking about my first experience in the Bahamas on a cruise ship.
Oh, I was just so focused on the cruise ship. I didn't. I forgot where it was. I was in the Bahamas. Oh, nice.
I'm smelling wet head. Okay, yeah. Blowjob spray. Okay. Thank you, Doc Johnson.
I pimp out something? So I was just on your website, sextoemily.com. This health expo thing that you're going to be at, it looks legit.
Yeah, dude, it's the sexual. Yes, thank you.
And you guys are all over it.
I know. Sexual health expo. Madison's in there. You looking at the pictures?
Got all the photos.
Okay, it's in Brooklyn, September 24th and 25th. And all my listeners from the UK, because my next email's from the UK, but all my listeners from the East Coast. Well, no, because I'm going to be in the UK. I need to mention that in a minute. But all my listeners from friggin' East Coast, you're like, when you coming? When you coming? Mm-hmm. Guess what? September 24th and 25th, Sexual Health Expo. I will be there for 2 days. I've got a booth. I'll be hanging. We'll chill. Top sex educators in the world are going to be there. People that I admire teaching workshops. Reed will be there. I just saw him at a sex party. It wasn't really a sex party, but it was.
Did you?
I did.
I'm sure
it was,
you did.
Oh god! In San Francisco, it was a hot tub party. So top sex educators, and you can learn from see all the greatest sex toys on the planet there.
And Reed will be there.
Hilarious. Reed was on our. 4 years ago, Misadvised. If you guys want to check out, Madison and I want a very funny TV show. You can buy it on iTunes. It's called Misadvised. What are you laughing at? So we've got a lot of great sponsors. And it's just everyone who's gone is blown away because, like, if you've ever had questions about, like, my picker's broken. How do I meet the right guy? How do I improve self-esteem? How do I initiate a threesome? How do I have anal sex? Like, there's workshops all day long. Plus, you can meet me. We'll hang out. Come there. It'll be fun. But I'm also going to be in the UK. I don't have the exact dates yet. And Germany in October for 2 weeks.
Are you serious?
Around Oktoberfest. And because I've got a lot of listeners in the UK and I want to visit you all. Email me if you would come see me. feedback@sexatemily.com and we'll be talking about that. But my next email. Emily, I'm 24. I'm from the UK. My name is Colby. I currently have a girlfriend of a few years, but things have grown stale. The other week, I was out and met up with a girl I've known for years. We went to her going away party. We were both drinking and couldn't keep our hands off each other. One thing led to another, and soon we were back at our house and then the bedroom. In the morning, we shared passionate kisses and had sex before I left. I totally didn't see this coming. We'd been Snapchatting in the months leading up to it, but that suggested nothing. That didn't suggest anything. Twist the tale is, the girl is actually the ex of one of my best friends. They haven't been together in maybe 4+ years, but still. I think I have some feelings towards this girl, but what can I do? Do I tell my girlfriend and friend? Do I just keep it between us? Thanks for any advice on these situations so I can get some closure. I really don't know what to do. I'm currently listening on iTunes, Colby, 24, from the UK. So Colby cheated on his girlfriend with some chick that he didn't see it coming, was Snapchatting with her.
Yeah.
So I'm going to argue that guess what? When you're Snapchatting, that's a little bit suggestive, okay? But it's okay if you really didn't think it was coming in your brain. But just like having a threesome to save the relationship, when you're feeling dissatisfaction or staleness in a current relationship, you probably shouldn't go out drinking with a friend that you've been Snapchatting with, okay? And that you're attracted to. But that's neither here nor there. We all do this. I've done this thing. We've all done it. I've gotten myself into precarious situations. But you probably have feelings for this other girl for 3 reasons. Perhaps it's like, you know, the excitement, the novelty, it's new, you know, the old relationship feels stale. Number 2, it could be anticipation, you know, like, oh my God, she's so hot. We've been Snapchatting and I'm going to go see her tonight. Like, it's new and exciting. Okay. Or it could be number 3, like, you're now filled with all these endorphins. Okay. You've got the excitement, you've got all this thrill and the newness. It's making you feel more connected to her than you would have otherwise. Those are the reasons why you're thinking, oh my God, this is the girl for me. Because all those things I just mentioned, the excitement, the anticipation, and the endorphins are no longer happening in your stale relationship. Okay. Very common, very common. But what you got to do, Colby, is you got to take a look at your relationship. Take a look at where your relationship is. If you love your girlfriend and you really want to make it work still, you need to turn all your energy toward repairing and rebuilding your relationship with her. And if this is the case, you don't need to tell her about the fling with the Snapchat girl. I just don't think you need to come clean about the one night with the girl.
As long as you don't ever do it again.
Well, don't do it again. And it could come back to bite you in the ass if she tells the ex-boyfriend. Yeah. But really, in these situations, if it's a one-off thing, I'm going to say that, and you want to make it work, that You got to take steps to reinvigorate your sex life and bring the excitement back into it together. Because again, right now you're like excited about this girl, but eventually the reality is going to kick in. And so, you know, you're going to realize that you have actually maybe really loved your girlfriend and that you want to be with her. So I would say right now, make this decision. Do you see potential with your current partner? Because relationships take work. A lot of relationships are about just you're constantly repairing it. To think that relationships are supposed to be perfect all the time and you're always going to have had sex and nothing's ever going to change is completely false way of thinking. It's like this it's like this belief. We all want to believe this like euphoric relationships are always going to be amazing. And I'm here to tell you, like I always say, is that like that's the honeymoon phase. Things are amazing in the beginning and they're bad at the end, but it means that you got to, if they're bad, it doesn't mean that they're worse.
You
got to
keep it going.
You got to keep it going. So keep it going or break up with her, but don't cheat on her again, dude, because I'll come find you. Okay. What do you think about that?
I support it.
Nice. Menace. I love her more. Same team. Okay. Hey, Emily, I'm a 27-year-old woman living in Baltimore, Maryland, and I listen to your podcast on Spotify. I'm currently engaged to someone I've been with for 2 years, and my fiance is the first person I've ever slept with.
Cool.
Prior to being with him, I masturbated regularly. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. What other options does a 25-year-old virgin have? Since we've been together and having sex, I'm so much less likely to get off on my own. Our sex life is great, but comes with one complication.
Oh, no.
My partner works nights, so we're forced to schedule much of our sex. And recently, we listened to your podcast about scheduled sex, but we have to schedule it. This can get difficult, which means sometimes I'm left on my own. I've tried setting the mood, trying different ways of getting aroused, not rushing it at all, but nothing works for me. I've got a few toys that I've tried, but to no avail. What would you recommend? I'd like to spice up our weekday sex. My partner later has to leave for work. And I'd also like to spice up my own weekday time, her self-love time. Mm-hmm. Any suggestions? Thanks so much. I love listening to you, Kay. All right, Kay, here's the deal. I get that when you schedule sex, it might leave you feeling like it's another item on your to-do list and like there's no warm-up. And it sounds like you need foreplay in the form of like turning yourself on with the masturbation that's also, you know, that doesn't feel like it's really exciting you anymore. Because our show about scheduled sex talked about the fact that I know like the thought of it doesn't, and hopefully you've come around to this too, Kay, that you realize that like sometimes when you schedule sex, you're like, oh, Thursday night, phew, we're having sex. For a lot of couples, it can be a relief. Couples who can't find time, they're like, oh, we know that we're having it on Thursday and that's fine. And we don't have to all week long worry. That I actually used to think it sounded so dull, but I get why it works for people. However, you're still not getting as turned on with that. And definitely masturbation is stale. So what I want to say is that sex is not just mechanical. So you say you're setting the mood and you're like, maybe you're lighting a candle and then you pull out your toys, but it's also very psychological. And it sounds like you might just be going through the motions, and like a lot about sex is going on in your brain. So I would work on enriching your fantasy life. Do you know, Kay, what turned you on? And I know that you've been with only one partner, and I'm curious, when you were the 25-year-old virgin and before that, what did you used to think about when you masturbated before you had sex with your partner when you were still a virgin? Fantasizing about like I was saying earlier in the show when I was talking about Somatica, like if you fantasize about like people, different people or scenarios, even if it doesn't include your boyfriend, is it husband? Yeah. Husband or boyfriend? Fiance. I knew it was something like committed. That's okay. That's not cheating. That's not wrong.
Fine.
But you gotta, I would say that your head's out in the game.
Even if it's not sexual, like think where your mind goes on a daily basis.
Right.
Everywhere.
So I would, you know, I don't know what it is. Like maybe it was the way you were brought up. It could be some religion constructs that you feel guilt or shame around masturbation. Now that you're like within a committed relationship, you know, I'm not sure if you're hiding it from your partner that you masturbate. Do you feel like it's wrong? I'm just curious, like what else has changed besides the fact that you're having a partnered sex life? So I would work on like figuring out what your sexual fantasies are. And that I think is really going to kick your alone time into high gear and your coupled time. That's my prescription from Dr. Emily.
And
have a nice day.
Womanizer.
Yeah. Womanizer is a great suggestion. It is a very popular toy. It is a clit whisperer and it works for every woman.
That's the word on the street.
If my clit could whisper and talk, it would say, get me the womanizer.
Please,
you know what to
help.
Do. Please help me suck my clitoris indirectly. I love it. Okay. So we've got time for another email.
All right.
Hi, Emily. I recently started listening to your podcast and I love it. Thanks for that. My boyfriend and I used to use lube when we'd have sex. We stopped because I personally really disliked how it felt, especially if we had sex during the day, because I have to go somewhere after our sex and I would have lube all around my vagina. Plus, I wasn't a big fan of how much I was aware of the lube during sex. Were we using too much? Is there another lube you can suggest that might be better? Thank you, Sheridan, age 22, Chico, California. Oh, Sheridan, you really know how to make a girl happy, because I love lube and I love sharing lube wisdom. So, Sheridan, I totally get what you're saying. I've been there. And here's the issue. You probably weren't using a great kind of lube. So there's some bad lubes out there, okay? There's some low quality lubes and they're cheap and available everywhere. But they also come with a lot of problems. They're sticky. They leave residue. They can cause infections because they mess up your vaginal, your normal pH balance, and they don't feel natural during sex. You want lube to mimic that natural feeling. So I just think you have the case of some bad lube. A good lube should match your lubrication and complement it, not overpower it. And you're probably using maybe too much of it. So if you're new to lubricant, definitely start with a water-based formula. They're lightweight. It'll definitely match your natural lubrication. It doesn't get sticky or tacky. You won't even know that it's there. You can use as much as you want, and it washes away super easily. It doesn't get on your sheets. Our favorite right now in the office, Joe Natural Love Organic Lubricant. You can find it on my website, Shop with Emily. I mean, sexwithemily.com. Click on the Shop with Emily. It's water-based, smooth, long-lasting glide, but not overpowering or distracting. And it's really safe to use the toys and condoms, and has chamomile, which actually soothes the vagina instead of irritating it. So don't give up on lube yet. I think that it makes everything better. I'm not alone. There have been studies that came out. Indiana University is the leading in sex studies and education and research, found that when they use lube, 83% of women enjoyed sex more, even if they're already wet, and they just added it. Remember, lube should not be a stigma. You don't need it if she's dry or there's discomfort. It actually enhances sex. So trust me, you got to spend a little more, but it's totally worth it, because you get what you pay for, even when it comes to lube. So yeah, I would check out the Joe lubricants. They're all on my site. There's a lot of them. So check that.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's all we got time for, my love, you menace.
I know. I hate it when we leave each other.
Sad. I know. We're so into loving each other. But I will see you soon. And I love all of my listeners. I love you all. So please just stay in touch however you want to. We told you all the ways to do it.
FYI, Emily is spinning around a rubber penis as she's saying goodbye. No,
it's Maurice,
joke.
Our intern. Okay, we'll put
You're
this
obsessed
on.
With them.
I love him. Okay, everyone, thanks for listening. Thank you to producer Madison, Lori,
Jamie. You're
going to
hit yourself in the face.
I love you all. Thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.